You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
The right has a serious language problem. We're going to discuss that tonight. We're going to talk about a manipulated election already, media malpractice, all that and more is coming up on I'm Right. Okay, we're going to get into language, performance, and many other things before we do any of those things. It is, you know what David, you know what date it is? It is December, December 4th. What does that matter? Because this is a day where we honor somebody. Somebody you have probably been taught to hate, if you were even taught about him at all. Have you ever heard of Francisco Franco? If you've heard about him at all, if you've ever heard about Franco, you probably learned in your government school that he was an evil fascist like Hitler and Mussolini, that he massacred his political opponents, an evil monster. Now, you can love Franco or hate Franco. I really don't care, but you should understand if you were taught about him in school or watched a little documentary on PBS about him, everything you know about him is almost undoubtedly a flat-out lie, if not very much manipulated. Imperfect, possibly tyrannical, murderous, yeah, it was probably all of those things. But Spain had been a nation that was crumbling for so long, coming apart at the seams. Starvation and a coup here and an assassination here and an empire that was once grand then turned into crap and soon, stop me if you've heard this before, the communists stole an election. Did a bunch of ballot stuffing. None of that sounds familiar, does it? And the communists stole an election and, of course, promptly began murdering the priests and raping the nuns. In fact, began massacring people, 70,000 of their political opponents. Any area they controlled, they massacred their political opponents. And along came Mr. Francisco Franco, an experienced general in the army. They approached him and said, El Caudillo, that means leader in Mexican. Anyway, they approached him and they said, hey, save our country. He amassed an army. He fought what is known as the Spanish Civil War. One of them, they had a couple. He fought the Spanish Civil War and won. And you should know this about Francisco Franco. He could have won the Spanish Civil War militarily much faster than he did. So what was the holdup? Why the holdup? Why didn't he just go take this objective and that objective and call it good? Because Francisco Franco understood having a military victory didn't mean anything if communists were still infecting his beloved Spain. So he waged a, how did he put it, centimeter by centimeter campaign, understanding for his country to be saved, communists had to go. What did the Spanish get after that? I bet you didn't learn this in history class. 40 plus years of freedom and prosperity because they removed the communists from power. We do not heap scorn on Mr. Francisco Franco. Imperfect as he may have been, he was a man who saved his country for his people. Happy birthday, El Caudillo. Now, let's move on. That's what they had. Let's talk about what we have. You know what we have? We have a majority in the House of Representatives that is itsy bitsy teeny tiny. We had a 4-seat majority in the House of Representatives. That's what we had. And then, in the wake of all this Democrat corruption out there, we're looking at this corruption and that corruption. We're looking at this crime, this lie and that lie. The Republican Party came together with the Democrat Party and decided the real enemy of the people, the man who must be removed from Congress, is George Santos. So our majority went from 4 to three. And wait, there's more. Now we find out a Mr. Bill Johnson, Republican you never heard of, he's in the House. Mr. Bill Johnson announced he's retiring. So our four-seat majority went to a three-seat majority, and now it's a teeny-tiny two-seat majority. And that is really, really important. You know why that little majority is important? Because I remember, like it was yesterday, you can say I have a long memory, but I remember the midterms. Do you remember the midterms? Here we are, December 4th, 2023, but the midterms were just a couple years ago. You remember those? Remember those? Actually, it was 2022. My gosh, it was a year ago. And what happened during the midterms? Do you remember the midterm campaigns? I do. I watched them all over the country. Whenever I was traveling, I'd sit back in the hotel at night, turn on the TV, and I'm looking at all these television ads. I remember opening up my email. I'm getting emails from the Republican Party. And what are they telling me they're going to do? Time and time and time and time again. We will impeach Joe Biden. We will impeach Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a criminal. Vote for me. John Jerkwater. And I promise you, as a Republican, I'm going to impeach Joe Biden. Just get me into office. I'm going to impeach Joe Biden. So, John Jerkwater and the GOP, they are giving back the House. Not a huge majority, but they are giving back the House, promising to impeach Joe Biden. And one of the first major things they've done in a year is they removed one of the Republicans, making the majority so slim that they now probably can't impeach Joe Biden.
The members have heard from their constituents back home. They have confidence in the credibility of our investigation and the mountains of evidence that we've accumulated. So I'm confident we're going to have the votes to move forward with this impeachment inquiry.
And you've got to have a near majority. The majority is so slim, even less now with George Santos being expelled this week, right?
Yeah, it's tough. I think we can lose one or two members.
It's tough. Don't buy any false confidence there. That was Republicans beginning to do what they call in military. That was Republicans prepping the ground. What does that mean, prepping the ground? Well, they're getting ready for a fight that's about to come. They're getting ready to fail to impeach Joe Biden. And right now, they're prepping the ground. They're prepping you. They want you to be ready when they come forward here soon and say, sorry, we don't have the votes. We tried and we do not have the votes. Hey, sorry about that. We just didn't have the votes. So just to make sure we're all clear on this, the Republicans, they volunteered to drive us where we want to go. And then they drained the gasoline out of their car they were going to use to drive us where they wanted to go. And then as we get in the car and we say, hey, drive me where I want to go. They'd look back and say, oh, man, I was gonna, but we're out of gas. That is the most GOP thing in the history of GOP things. What an embarrassing party. What a bunch of useless eunuchs. At best, wrap your mind around this. At best, we are led by eunuchs. At worst, we're led by people who are actually working with Democrats, doing the whole controlled opposition thing. No, we will fight for you. We'll impeach Joe Biden. And then always coming up with a reason. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Dog ate my homework. I ran out of gas. Always coming up with a reason why they can't. My goodness, if you want to find someone who will speak out the most loudly about Democrat corruption, you have to find the guy who's a vegetable.
What's your reaction to the expulsion?
Well, it's like, I'm not surprised, but to me, I think the more important picture is that we have a colleague in the Senate that actually did much more sinister and serious kinds of things. Senator Menendez, he needs to go. And if you are going to expel Santos, how can you allow to somebody like Menendez to remain in the Senate? And, you know, Santos is kind of lies were almost, you know, funny. And like, you know, he you know, landed on the moon and that kind of stuff. Whereas, I think Menendez, I think, is really a senator for Egypt, you know, not New Jersey. So I really think he needs to go.
Who was that? Democrat Senator John Fetterman speaks more clearly and more boldly against the other side than really any Republican I can currently think of, any of them. And back to what we were just talking about how many of these guys are actually controlled opposition, actually working for the other side. Every now and then, you get a Democrat who will kind of pop up and say what he's not allowed to say. He'll be honest about conversations he has with Republicans behind closed doors, like Joe Biden did here.
There are 7 Republicans still in the United States Senate who come up to me since I've been president and say, Joe, I agree with you, but if I vote with you at all, I'm going to be primary to lose my election.
That's how they talk. I've heard this story many, many, many times, not just from old fool Joe Biden. So don't sit there and say, well, Joe Biden lies. Oh, he does lie all the time, but I've heard this many times. You see, to your face, they tell you, I love America, and we're going to impeach Joe Biden. And the second that door closes in the Senate cloakroom, they pour themselves a glass of bourbon and they discuss how stupid you are, how ridiculous you are, you freedom-loving Americans, probably even own guns. That's the real Washington, D.C. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Speaking of the real Washington, D.C., James Carville went on television, called Republicans worse than Al-Qaeda. Dave Rubin happened to be sitting right beside him when he did that. We'll talk to Dave about that in just a moment before we get to that. Do I need to pull up that video for you again of John Kerry talking about agriculture in the world needing to go? Do I need to pull up the video again of Bill Gates talking about how we need to get carbon emissions to zero? The people who in large part run our food supply are trying to destroy our food supply. I know that's difficult to wrap your mind around. Nevertheless, that's the world we live in. What have you done to prepare? Now, when I tell you about My Patriot Supply and their 3-month food kits, maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, Jesse, I don't want to waste the money. What if I don't use it? What if you don't use it? Brother, I hope you don't use it. I hope I don't use mine. But you really think that's a guarantee? They're $200 off right now. Go get a 3-month food kit for yourself, for everyone who lives in your home. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com. That's how you get $200 off. Go. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to my boy Dave Rubin, I need to do something here. We're going to kill something right now in this show. Don't worry, it's not a puppy or anything. You know how we do this segment, This Week in Wokeism? No more. Woke is a bad word. I've decided I don't like it. I'm not using it anymore. It's way too nice and fluffy sounding for these cultural Marxist demons we're up against. There will no longer be a This Week in Wokeism. It'll be This Week in Communism or something along those lines. For instance, we're talking about language here. You want to see somebody everyone's mad at today, but he's using appropriate language to get his people ready? James Carville went on TV, said this.
Mike Johnson and what he believes is one of the greatest threats we have today to the United States. I know these people.
You're talking about Christian nationalism.
This is a bigger threat than Al Qaeda to this country. And let me tell you something. I see you, girl.
One, Dave's expression on his face killed me. Two, don't be mad at James Carville. His people fight like they're fighting against terrorists. We don't, because we're fighting against woke. He can sleep in on Saturday and not vote if woke is what you're up against. Dave, I do have to ask, joining me now, my friend Dave Rubin of the outstanding Rubin Report. The look on your face made my morning, buddy. I woke up first thing and saw this, and I just about died. What was going through your head at that point in time?
Jesse, so I should clarify that question was asked in the overtime segment where he specifically asks one guest one question. So you're kind of not supposed to chime in if you're the other guest when that's happening. But yes, my facial expression, I mean, look, I was stone cold. Like, what the hell are you talking about? First off, I didn't know that we're worried about Al-Qaeda anymore. I know we got some problems with ISIS, and I know we got some problems with our Hamas kids at college campuses and the rest of it. But if you watch the full extended version of it, which people can find on YouTube, he then went on for about a minute screaming about how bad these guys are, but he never said what they're doing. They're mean and they're bad, and I know them, and I've been around them, and they're bad and mean, and I know them and been around them. And also, he talks real fast. You don't really know what he's saying. He's kind of old and kooky at this point. And, you know, this is just standard. You get it. This is standard Democrat 101. And you got to remember, this is a guy who was in the Bill Clinton machine originally. You just scare the hell out of people when it comes to Republicans. So it almost felt to me like they're pretty much done with Trump. And now it's on to the new boogeyman. And that will be basically Mike Johnson and, you know, Christian nationalism.
Dave, it's hard to explain to people who are politically involved. I mean, everyone who watches your great show, right? Everyone who watches this show, we're all involved. I'm involved, you're involved, everyone watching is involved. It's hard to explain to those people just how uninformed the normal American is, though. And that's why this language is so effective, that they use it over and over and over again. Norm and Norma, they believe this crap.
Oh, they absolutely do. I don't know if you guys have the clip queued up, but if you didn't see it, there was a moment where James Carville also brings up Donald Trump, very fine people on both sides. And I said, well, Donald Trump did say that, but the very next sentence was, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis or the white supremacists. And when I said it to him, he was kind of like, bleh. And Bill was like, oh, he worded it inelegantly. And it's like, wait a minute, you guys for years have been screaming, this was the proof that Donald Trump was a Nazi. Not only that, Jesse, do you remember that in Joe Biden's campaign launch video, the video that he announced, that he used to announce his run for the presidency, he said he was running because Donald Trump said very fine people on both sides. So what I tried to do on the show, and you know what it's like going on these cable shows, and by the way, I'm not throwing Bill under the bus here because he brought me on and let me say whatever I want. But you know, on these shows, you have a limited window to get in your good point before it just ends up becoming a screaming match. So to me, it was like you just have to strategically figure out when to say things. And that moment was beautiful because we've all been waiting for somebody on mainstream to call out the BS on very fine people on both sides. And then they don't have much to go against it. You know, he literally just kind of crumbled over in his seat as if I had whacked him with a frying pan, which I was considering doing.
If you want to watch Dave do it, here it was. We actually do have the clip.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Well, good people on both sides at Charlottesville?
Sure.
I don't know. Did I hear that or did I make that up? That Trump said there are good people on both sides.
He didn't say that.
He did not. He said
I'm not talking about the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis.
He's like, you know, on watch.
It was badly phrased. I think we can agree on that.
I mean, no, and actually in this case I wouldn't agree with Bill either that it was badly phrased. It wasn't badly phrased. He said there are good people on both sides, meaning the debate about what we do with monuments over controversial people, right? In this case, Robert E. Lee. The next sentence was the condemnation. So I don't know how he could have said it other than not putting a period and maybe putting a comma in the sentence. So, but it is kind of funny to me that even Bill, you know, for years was ranting and raving about this thing. Now it's been reduced to, oh, he said it inelegantly. And that really is proof that if you tell them the truth over time and you do not give them an inch, something you're quite good at, that over time the truth cannot be refuted. And I think hopefully I did a little bit of that on Friday night.
Dave, along those same lines, Robert E. Lee being a controversial figure, it's wild how much the communists will decide the field we play on, and we play on it. Okay, so Robert E. Lee's a controversial figure. According to who? Robert E. Lee's been dead for 150 years. I've never woken up a day in my life and considered him controversial because he's freaking dead and gone, and I'm never going to meet him or any of his ancestors. And the point is not really about Robert E. Lee or the South or the North. It's that we have these debates over the figures they decide are controversial. Why don't we ever have debates about figures we decide are controversial? The debate is on their terms, and that frustrates me to no end.
That's a great point, and we have to change that. It's actually more important than debating what marginal tax rates are or what foreign policy is, that the cultural part of this, that they set the agenda. They basically put the menu in front of us. The menu is not really what's happening in the kitchen. It's just what they want us to see that is happening in the kitchen. And then we end up losing all the time because we don't have the full set of ingredients. We don't know all the proteins that are back there and everything else. We're just choosing off what they've selected. But you're totally right, because of course this will not end with, say, Robert E. Lee or some supporter of slavery or anything else. We know that this will come for Thomas Jefferson, who was trying to free the slaves while also being a slave owner. We know that this will come from George Washington, who stepped down as the head of the army after the War for Independence, even though everyone wanted him to remain the head of the military and the president of the United States, because he also had slaves. He only freed his half of the slaves in his will, and Martha kept her half. All of these people have complex histories. Jesse, you're not going to believe this. Jesse Kelly has a complex history, and Dave Rubin has a complex history, and they're not going to be happy with our statues either, which I assume are being built. I don't know where they're going to be, but, you know.
Well, somewhere. Mine certainly should be, Dave, although I don't have a complex history. It's just all bad. It's just a resume of crap. That's really what
you're
I have out
have
there.
This is,
there's nothing to celebrate.
You're going to have one tall-ass statue, man. You're going to have the tallest statue in town. That is for sure.
Dave, you are the best, my man. Go watch the Rubin Report. It's one of my favorite. I appreciate you, my brother, very much. You know, I do want a statue. What? Well, we can't be honest. It's just you and me talking here. I want a statue. Where? I don't know. a bunch of places. I would like it to be, I was going to say marble, but I feel like marble would get dirty too fast. I've learned that. I've had these white shoes and they get torn up. Maybe bronze. A bronze statue. Why shouldn't I have a bronze statue? Anyway, Mr. Producer, we're going to work on that after the show. Until then, we'll focus a little bit on the media. Those apparatchiks are up to no good, of course, like they always are in this country. Now, let's do this real quick. I need nutrition. You need nutrition. Why? You're a living thing, flesh and blood. You need water, you need nutrition, vitamins, minerals, omega oils, probiotics, and you need everything, right? Well, so does your dog. We give ourselves nutrition. I'm going to eat my veggies. I'm going to take this multivitamin. We give ourselves nutrition, and then we give our dogs dog food. And we wonder why they die at 10 years old. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. It's an all-natural nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. You will see a physical difference in your dog. Your dog has health problems that you didn't know you could make disappear. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. All you have to do is call them. Free Jumpstart Trial Bags, 833-33-MY-DOG, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Nafok, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the link between social media and the state apparatus is one that should be apparent to everybody at this point in time. Social media, whether or not you're on there, and I'm not encouraging you to get on there, but if you're on there or not, it is very, very powerful, and it is controlled by our enemies, and they're working together to censor people like you. people like me. This latest and greatest is out of YouTube. Joining me now, Curtis Houck, of course, the managing editor of the Great News Busters. Curtis, what's happening at YouTube?
Well, apparently there's emails now between the White House and YouTube saying that, you know, you should really look into censoring users who have contrary views about vaccines and the COVID-19 pandemic. As we know, big tech and social media and the White House have all really been working together over the last few years to crack down on Americans and their free speech rights. Originally, it was the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic regarding whether it was came from a lab in China, which, I mean, why wouldn't it have? Or if somebody just ate bat soup, as the jokes go. But now it has to do with, you know, just COVID in general. And in this one, the YouTube files, very similar to the Twitter files, show that there were emails between White House officials, particularly Director of Digital Strategy, Rob Flaherty, asking Google, YouTube's parent company, how they could crack down on vaccine misinformation and discuss ways the White House can partner in your product work. Huh, that sounds like collusion to me. So, of course, this really doesn't get any attention on the major broadcast networks. This hasn't gotten any attention on cable either, because these networks are fine with it, and they would like nothing more than to get a slice of the pie themselves.
Yeah, amazing the kind of country we live in. Now, along those exact same lines, you guys are doing some research. Looks like they're already censoring the 2024 political opposition to Joe Biden.
Right, exactly. I mean, this is intentional. This is election interference at its finest. As you can see on the headline there, that we have found that big tech has censored Biden opponents 162 times. That's just not just Republicans, but according, you know, Democratic opponents, independents, RFK Jr., even the Republicans that the liberal media will try and tell you were acceptable candidates in the primary, like Francis Suarez, even got dinged once. Via social media. And what we mean by this is we looked at YouTube, all those platforms there, in times whether, you know, things had warning labels issued or accounts were just taken down entirely. And the fact that Donald Trump really isn't on Twitter or X, for example, and that he's still at number 5 there with 9 dings just goes to show how desperate the liberal media are to crowd out any and all opposition to the to just people who want to point out that Biden can't stand up and Biden doesn't have a pulse and that you can't afford anything right now. That's really what this is about. They're willing to talk about all kinds of things, you know, really like the stock market's doing great and, you know, things about Ukraine or all these other issues, but they're not really willing to talk about the issues that the American people care about. They'll talk about Liz Cheney's book because that's really important out there, but they won't talk about the economy and how Americans actually feel.
You know, what else they won't talk about is the fact that Joe Biden is compromised, endlessly corrupt and compromised, and Normie Norm don't have any idea because the traditional media sources in this country won't talk about it, will they, Curtis?
No, and there's dozens and dozens of examples that we have found just in the last, you know, 3-4 years. Let's look at the $5 million that Joe Biden allegedly received from Burisma. You know, the $40,000 check that Joe Biden received laundered through his brother Jim Biden and the Chinese energy company CFC, or the nearly 24 White House visits that of Hunter Biden's business partner Eric Schwerwin had at the Obama White House. Or the fact that Joe Biden used an alias for over 82,000 emails. And those kinds of examples are just a small fraction of the ones that we've been looking at Newsbusters, and they haven't received any attention on the major broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, NBC. They're willing to talk about gag orders, or they're willing to talk about Ron DeSantis, you know, doing terribly versus Nikki Haley, according to Disney-owned ABC. So, of course, they have their own axe to grind. Or they're just not talking about the campaign at all. And I think that's really important as well, Jesse, that they're not just talking about Biden scandals. They're ignoring the election altogether. hoping the American people can be as tuned out about the election for as long as possible. We saw this in 2014 when I first came on to Newsbusters in the MRC. They didn't talk about the midterms on ABC up until a few weeks before the election because they knew it was going to go badly for them. And I think that's what they're looking to do this time. So instead of censoring platforms, censoring users on big tech platforms such as Twitter with the New York Post story or not talking about it, they're just not going to talk about it at all.
Speaking of newsbusters, Curtis, George Soros is somebody who's been on the lips of conservatives for a very, very, very long time. Anyone who pays any attention at all knows the name of George Soros. But George Soros is 8,000 years old, and the bags underneath his eyes are hitting his knees at this point. George isn't running anything. Alex, his son, is the one running things now, and no one even knows about this guy. Curtis, who is he?
Well, I mean, he's really his grandfather with a social media game. And I think that's what's really the important takeaway from all of this. The fact is that he's a guy who willingly posts pictures with his grandfather or his father and other family members, or he is posting with politicians talking about thanks for their help. He's doing it out in the open now, whereas George Soros would really just give the money to these groups or to candidates, and we'd kind of have to follow the money trail. The thing with Alex now is he's just doing this out in the open. He's not only giving money away, he's showing pictures. He's posting them on social media. He's talking about the partnerships that he and his family are doing. And that we're just supposed to think we're stupid in all of this. We're not supposed to see what's going on here because he knows he has a complicit media on his side that any challenge to the Soros family is seen as anti-Semitic, you know, because of his father's life in Europe, you know, during World War II. But again, I think this is just an insult to the American people that he can post pictures like this on social media and get away with it.
Yeah, it sure is. Curtis, my brother, I appreciate you very much, man. All right. Who is attacking our ships? You see over the weekend? In the Red Sea. I love saying the Red Sea because it makes me think about Moses and party. Anyway, but in the Red Sea, one of our naval vessels and some commercial vessels were attacked. What? Who would be so bold? After all, this is America, after all, right? Let's talk to Christina and Francis about that next. Before we get to Christina and Francis, let's talk about, well, Soros. We're just talking about the Soroses. You know what they've done, right? They're the ones who've taken over the DA offices in this country. Why are people on the right prosecuted to no end and people on the left are sprung from jail the second they go in? Because our legal system has turned evil. The Soros money has backed them to the point it turned evil. They've turned against you. You need an attorney. Normal people need an attorney, especially if you carry a firearm. If you carry a firearm, well, I'll only use it the right way. Do you think that matters to the next commie scumbag DA? Get an attorney. That's what Attorneys for Freedom's all about. They're for normal people, not insurance, an attorney. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All you have to do is go to attorneysonretainer.us, promo code Jesse. Get an attorney. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, who's attacking our warships and why? What are we doing about it? I don't know. Let's talk to the ladies from Breitbart about this. They're the experts. I am not. Joining me now, Frances Martell, Breitbart News International Editor, and Christina Wong, Breitbart News Pentagon Correspondent. Christina, okay, let's start with you. We find out that in the Red Sea, one of our naval vessels and some commercial ships are being attacked. Okay, what does that mean, though? That's quite a headline. Who's doing the attacking? Did anyone get hurt? What happened?
Yeah, so the Houthis, they are a Shia militia group in Yemen. They've been locked in a civil war with the U.S. and Saudi-backed government for several years now. They attacked the U.S. destroyer and also commercial ships. And so what happened was several commercial ships were attacked and a U.S. destroyer in the area responded. And while it was responding to those attacks, it was attacked by drones, and presumably armed drones, and the U.S. ship shot them down. So this is a severe escalation. It's apparently tied to what's going on with Israel and Hamas. The Houthis, they are Iran-backed. They back the Palestinians. There's a military spokesperson for the Houthis who specifically said the Houthis are attacking Israeli-linked ships in response to Israel's offense against Hamas. So the Biden administration and the Pentagon, they're trying to say, oh, these are just attacks against commercial ships. They're trying to separate them from what's going on and their support for Israel. They're trying to not widen the conflict, but obviously this is linked.
Okay, Frances, help me understand something. It will help many people understand this. Okay, so Iran buys these dirt balls, a bunch of drones. They use it to attack our ships. Why is this being permitted? Give us some kind of knowledge of the larger political landscape. Yemen is a dump. I doubt these people were able to stop us anyway. Why is this something that's being allowed?
Well, I think the most important material fact of the Biden administration regarding the Houthis is that in February 2021, the Biden administration decided to remove the Houthis from our list of foreign terrorist organizations. And the reason given for that was not that they weren't terrorists anymore. Blinken was very explicit that they were clearly terrorists, but we removed them from that list so that we could allow money to come in because it would allegedly create more avenues for humanitarian aid for the Yemeni population, which is facing famine, cholera. It's a really horrible situation over there. But of course, what ended up happening is that the Houthis used that money to arm themselves, to recruit child soldiers, and to commit terrorism. So I just think that's the first place we have to start with the bigger context of how are the Houthis this well prepared to create this much chaos in the Red Sea.
Okay, Christina, explain this to me then. The Navy, you say they stop all this. Is there a source beyond Iran where we can go to where these people are receiving these loads of drones? Where are these drones coming from? Shipped directly from Iran? How are we allowing these things to get into the country if they're being used to attack our people?
Yes, they are definitely supplied by Iran. These are advanced ballistic missiles that the Houthis do not have by themselves. So much like the Iranian proxy forces that are in Iraq and Syria attacking U.S. forces there, Iran has a vast network that they're using to supply all these proxy groups to create trouble for the U.S. in the region. And the U.S. is recognizing that Iran is behind it, but so far the response has been very feeble. It's taken out some ammunition dumps in Syria. It's taken a few hits at several militia groups in Iraq and I believe just Iraq now. So there's only been maybe a handful of responses in response to more than 74 attacks so far on U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria. And so the Biden administration is saying, oh, we don't want, you know, so far deterrence has worked. We've surged all these assets to the Middle East. We don't want to widen this war between Israel and Hamas. That deterrence is clearly not working.
Okay. Francis, let's talk a little bit about this Israel-Hamas thing. I remember when this whole dust-up began, Hezbollah, speaking of Iran, they were amassing on Israel's northern border. We were told thousands of these militia types were amassing, that Israel was going to get spit-roasted from both ends. And then the American military sent over two carrier groups, and Israel has not been spit-roasted. Is that because we're there?
That's a big part of it, for sure. I think a bigger... another aspect to it, maybe not a bigger one, is that Hezbollah is part of the same network as Hamas, of course. They get money from Iran, but they're a little bit competitive, right? Because Hezbollah is Shiite and Hamas is Sunni. There were pro-Hezbollah writers in Lebanon who were making fun of Hamas because Hamas leaders live in luxury in Qatar while, you know, jihadis have to do the hard work on the ground. So I think there wasn't a really popular desire on the part of Hezbollah to risk it all on Hamas's sake. They were willing to make some threats. Hassan Nasrallah gave this big speech where everyone expected him to declare war on Israel, and then he just generally said he didn't like Israel. He didn't say anything new. So I think our presence there is a big deterrent, but there's also some unresolved tension between Hamas and the Shiite groups, including the Houthis.
Francis, let's talk for a minute because you have a story up about Israel in Ukraine. What's the connection there? Israel hurting Ukraine? What's going on?
Well, there's no direct relationship, but President Zelensky has said that he believes that there's a relationship in terms of the international attention. He has come out and said, you know, only the blind can't see that all of this attention was put on the Ukraine war, and now it's been redirected, the Western attention, towards Israel. And that hurt Zelensky's effort to continue getting support, both monetary and military support, for his own war. And he's been very supportive of Israel. He was one of the first to come out and say every world leader should visit after October 7th. But he's also been transparently frustrated that while he has been positive about supporting Israel, there's also only so much that the West can do. There's only so much money, and he knows that there are going to be resources redirected to fighting Hamas that he believes would have gone to fighting Russia.
No. Christina, why does the Pentagon need $114 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Who knows? No one knows where this money is going to. It's over $270 million if you count beginning since 2022. It's a black hole. I mean, no one knows where the money is going to. It's very vague. There was a report put out by the Pentagon on extremism. I think there were like 80-something or less extremist instances out of 2 million active duty forces. Who knows where this is going? It seems like just part of the DOD grift. I mean, the DOD failed its sixth budget audit. You know, if it needs money, maybe it should look at the DEI budget that no one knows what it's doing. So, you know, when the DOD complains about not having money, maybe they should just raid, you know, DEI.
Yeah, sounds good. Christina, Francis, thank you both ladies so much. I appreciate it very much. All right. You know what? We need to lighten the mood. That was a lot. We need it. So whenever you want to lighten your mood, checking in with Sheila Jackson Lee, she's a Houston congresswoman, if you don't know her, is always a good time. So we'll check in with her and how her mayoral campaign is going in just a moment. Before we do that, let's do this. Everybody's sticker shocked right now, right? Inflation, interest rates, everybody looking at their bank statement going, oh my gosh. Okay, so we got to cut costs. Timeshare, getting rid of that timeshare would be a great way to cut costs, wouldn't it? Oh, Jesse, that sounds good. I'd love to, but I can't. I'm stuck. You're not stuck. You think you're stuck. Timeshare companies lie to you. Oh, you're stuck forever. You're stuck for life. Pay your annual fees every year. Stop paying the annual friggin' fees and call Lone Star Transfer instead. 99% of the time when someone calls, they get legally and permanently out of their timeshare. You're one phone call away from being free as a bird. So make the call. 844-310-2646 or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Nafok, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It is time to lighten the mood. You know who Sheila Jackson Lee is? See, everybody in the Houston area, they all laughed and rolled their eyes when I just said her name, but most other people don't know. She don't know the congressman from various areas. Well, She's a moron, all right? She's one of the various congressmen representing the Houston area in a complete and utter moron. In every possible way. It's honestly, it's difficult to get mad at her because she's so incredibly stupid. She's the one, remember it came out recently, somebody recorded her and she was chewing out her staff and called somebody a fat body and all kinds of stuff. Well, now the moron thing we were just talking about, she has an ad out now. She's running for mayor. She's a congressman. She's running to be mayor of Houston. And this is the latest ad they have.
Now I'm running to be your mayor. Because if we're going to bring down crime, fix our streets, and bring good-paying jobs here, then Houston needs a champion who's ready to fight for what's right. And I am.
See that little part there at the end? Vote on December 7th. That's going to be difficult because the election is December 9th. Gosh, that's so Sheila Jackson Lee. That might be the most Sheila Jackson Lee thing in the history of Sheila Jackson Lee things. Only, no, wait, it probably comes in second compared to Sheila Jackson Lee announcing on camera that she's unqualified for things and only got in because she's a diversity hire.
But I rise today as a clear recipient of affirmative action.
Yes, a clear recipient, no doubt about it. I'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.